Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Before we start into today's message, I want to give a brief update of what's going on over here in Africa. And we are in the midst of a mission from the USA. We're having a team of 18 people, 12 adults and 6 children here from the USA. And so we are doing building projects and visiting the orphan children at Living Water Children's Home. And so we are asking for your prayers for these people. We're very excited to have them here, very excited to see what all is going to take place here in Makunda Village. And so God is using these people, and we bless them. We bless the provision that came in for them from many different sources, and we praise the Lord for the opportunity to have our friends and dear brothers and sisters in America visit us here in Kenya. And you can come someday yourself if you're listening to me today and you think you would have a desire to come here, participate in a mission to help at the children's home, to help at the church, or maybe to minister to these people in Kenya. Just drop me a line, pureprairie@hotmail.com, to my email, and we'll see if we can make that happen. If you can get a team together, and we'll see if we can make that happen, and you will be blessed, the people here will be blessed, and the ministry will be blessed. One other note of mention, we are going to Tanzania in just about a month. We're going to Dar es Salaam, the big city of 6 million people on the coast of Tanzania. And we will be there with a crusade for 5 days. Bonnie Mwaitegi, our good friend, the worship leader from Dar es Salaam, is going to be leading worship. And we're teaming up with about 40 pastors in a pastors association. And so this is going to be a great blessing for the people of Tanzania. It's going to be a great blessing for those who come to know the Lord and those who get deliverance and healing. And so we are looking forward to that. You can also be a part of that. Stay tuned at the end of this broadcast for contact information on how you can participate, how you can help send people over to Dar es Salaam for this great crusade. Well, today, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Genesis chapter 3. And this is the third in a series of messages on Adam and Eve, the fall of Adam, the fall of mankind into sin. And in verse 20, we're going to take it up here. And it says, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. For Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. And so this appears to be the first act of sacrifice to cover man's sin. This is a prophetic act, not only to looking forward to the law when sacrifices would be made according to the law and according to the instructions of the Lord in the book of Leviticus, but also this pertains to the sacrifice when Jesus Christ shed his blood for the sins of all mankind, which was not to come for thousands of years later, but we know that it has come, and we are the beneficiaries of that sacrifice. But it just appears because it says that God made tunics of skin, and he clothed Adam and Eve to cover their shame, to cover them, because now, as they had participated in sin and they had fallen in sin, they were aware of their sin, they were aware of their shame, they tried to hide themselves from God, and God clothed them and gave them the first covering for their sin. Well, in verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. And so one of us, he's speaking to Jesus Christ, his son. He's speaking to the Holy Spirit. And he says, man has now become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And so God knew that Adam and Eve, now they knew evil. Prior to that time, before they took of the apple, they did not know evil. And so now they knew evil. And so God said, because they know evil, I'm going to put a finite limit on their life. I'm not going to let them live forever. And so God put a finite limit on Adam's life. He lived to be 930 years. And by the grace of God, he did not die physically the very next day. But he was not going to be able to live forever. And beloved, you are, and I are not going to be able to live forever. We all know people that have died. We all see our family and our friends die. We see people killed by violence. We see people died by sickness and infirmity. We see people die by suicide. We see people, sometimes they are out on the ocean and they die. Sometimes they're on land and they die. But you are going to die. I am going to die. We are all going to die. We do not escape death. As living mortal beings on this earth, death is a part of our life. And so God said, and for those who don't believe in the Trinity, it says here in verse 22 that man has become like one of us. And there's the Trinity right there, one of us. And they know good and evil, just like God, just like Jesus, just like the Holy Spirit knew evil, because Satan had been in heaven. He was the anointed cherub in heaven, and yet he rebelled against God. He rebelled and fell from his place. God cast him out of heaven. And so God said, now man knows evil because he has taken up with the program of the devil. And so in verse 24, so he, God, drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And so God was determined, and God declared that Adam would not eat of the tree of life, that he would not live forever, that his life had bound, that it had a finite end, would come to an end. And so God said, you're not going to come back into the garden, and you're not going to be able to eat of that tree of life. Well, beloved, we're in that same situation today. We are out of the garden. We can't come back into the garden. The cherubim, in a way, are still guarding it. But the good news is this, is that Jesus Christ, the plan of redemption through God's Son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross. He shed his precious, perfect blood for you, that you can come back into the garden. You can come back and you can eat of that tree of life, and you can know God. You can know Jesus, and you can know the Holy Spirit, and you can abide with them for all eternity. Yes, you're not going to live in the flesh. You're not going to live on this earth for an infinite time, for an eternal time, but for all eternity, you can live with God, and you can live with Jesus Christ, and you can know the Holy Spirit, and you can be with him for all eternity. And so God has made a way for you and for me to come back into the garden. Well, the consequences of sin then started to play out in verse 1 of chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. So Adam and Eve had a child. The first child they had, his name was Cain. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Well, in verse 3 then, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Well, we don't know exactly why God was not pleased with Cain's offering. It doesn't really go into detail. Some people say because it was just the fruit of the ground and it wasn't meat, it wasn't livestock. I don't believe that necessarily is true. God appreciates the fruit of the ground. He created all of the vegetables. He created the fruits of the trees. He created everything. And so he would have been pleased with it. But there was something about Cain's attitude that was not right. There was something about the way he approached his offering and the way he approached God when he made his offering that was not right. And God sees your heart. Now for us, the message is this. When you come to the Lord says he loves a cheerful giver. When you make an offering to the Lord, he says, I love that cheerful giver. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, spilling over, it shall be given into your bosom, and with the measure you measure out, it shall be measured unto you. And so the Lord loves a cheerful giver. There was something about Cain's offering that was not right. He was not giving cheerfully, or his attitude was not proper. And Abel's offering, it says the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And so when you make an offering to the Lord, when you get pierced in your heart and convicted in your heart that you need to make an offering to the Lord, you do it with a cheerful attitude. You do it with reverence. You're not trying to manipulate God by making an offering to him. You're not trying to coerce God. Just make your offering to the Lord with a good attitude, with a cheerful heart, and let the Lord bless you in the way that he has promised to bless you. And so when we make a request on this radio broadcast for provision for a crusade, provision for the children's home, provision for travel, whatever it is, if the Lord prompts you to give, if the Lord pierces your heart and prompts you to give, be obedient. I would encourage you to be obedient and give your offering to the Lord as the Holy Spirit guides you right now, a direction to give an offering to this ministry. And maybe he's prompting you to give an offering to your church. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do, give it with reverence, give it with honor and respect to the Lord, and give it with a cheerful heart, and the Lord will then bless you, just as it spoke in Luke 6:38. With the measure that you measure out, he will measure it out unto you. The blessings that come to you from a good offering, you don't give to get. You give out of respect and honor and obedience to the Lord. But the measure that you measure out, if you're a tightwad and you have a lot of money sitting in the bank and you don't want to give to any ministry or any missionary or any church or whatever, God knows that. He sees your heart. But if you give with abundance and you give with a cheerful heart and you bless those people who are doing the Lord's work, God will see it. He will bless you in return in ways that you can't even imagine. And if you give your whole life, you pick up your cross and carry it, and you give your life for the kingdom, God sees that also. When you lay down your life for the kingdom, then you will find your life. Beloved, some of you are sitting on your offering, you're sitting on your anointing, you're sitting on everything that God has given you, and you're not doing anything with it. And God says today, I want you to give an offering. I want you to give your life. I want you to give your time, your resources. Some of you could easily respond in ways that you haven't. And God says, I want you to do that. And then the Lord can bless you just as he did Abel. He respected Abel and his offering, but for Cain, he did not respect him. Well, things turned from bad to worse here in verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies, or sin crouches at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Well, there is the first murder, beloved, and it was in the first family, and so the Garden of Eden crumbled pretty fast. That was all part of God's plan. It didn't take God by surprise. He knew man had in his heart the ability to sin. He knew man had in his heart the ability to give in to temptation. He knew a man had in his heart the ability to walk away from God. And so it happened in the first family. And so when you turn on the news today and you see people killing each other, you see people killing police, you see people picking up guns and shooting people in mass murders and all kinds of other wretched, detestable things, you know that it all started in the first family at the fall of Adam and Eve. And so we shouldn't be shocked when we see the headlines and we see blood being spilled all over the land and we see murder and all kinds of wretched things going on. This is just the fall of man. This is a consequence when man turned away from God, when man turned away from the plan that God had for him, and he turned to the devil. And so this is what happens when people walk with the devil. Well, the Lord said to Cain in verse 9, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And verse 10, the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." And so when we shed the blood of the innocents, whether it's somebody that gets murdered, whether it's somebody that is in some way walking with the Lord or is an innocent, and I'm thinking primarily here of abortion, when we shed the blood of the innocents, when we take their life and shed their blood in the many ways that abortion is carried out all over the earth, then their blood cries out from the land, and there has to be a payment for the shed blood of the innocents. There has to be a payment, and as a result of that, then the payment must come from those who shed the blood of the innocent. Well, in Genesis 9:6, God talks about this when he's talking with Noah. After the flood of Noah, there is a reset, you might say, of the whole earth. There's a restarting of the story of mankind because everybody except Noah and his family were drowned in the flood. Every single person and all the creatures of the earth, except the ones that were in the ark, drowned at the flood of Noah. And so God says to Noah in Genesis 9, verse 6, he said, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, Noah, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it." And so then God spoke to Noah, and he gave him his covenant. He gave him his marching orders, just as he had given Adam. But the consequence of the fall of the man is that when people murder, when people shed innocent blood, and that includes babies in the womb, there has to be a payment made, and it has to come from those who have shed the blood. And so when you think about the United States of America and other countries for that matter, here in Kenya, we don't have legal abortion, but there are lots of illegal abortions that take place all over the country. And so when the blood of the innocents is shed, it cries out to the Lord, and the Lord hears the cry of every single one of those babies. The Lord hears the cry of every single unborn baby that is taken from the womb and that is sacrificed to the altar of convenience and reputation and sacrificed to the altar of sexual immorality. And the Lord says, "I cannot stand the cry of the blood of the innocents being shed in that way." And so at some point, God will then reconcile the cries of the blood of the innocents. He will make an adjustment. He will make the payment to be made for that shed blood. Well, the good news of the story of the fall of man then continues over in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, the good news is this: we can get back to the garden. The good news is this, is that when we sin, even when we murder, there are people, many people I have ministered to. I've done ministry in prisons all over the world, here in Africa and in America. There are many people in these prisons who have committed murder, and there's people, of course, walking outside of the prisons that have committed murder. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Maybe you've not murdered anybody. Praise God, I hope you haven't. But even if you have, God has a plan of redemption for you. God has a plan of justification for you. He can bring you back to the garden. He can bring you back to a place of righteousness and right standing with our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the people who wrote the Bible, catch this, even the people who wrote the majority of the Bible, Moses, David, and Saul wrote most of the Bible, all three of them committed murder. All three of them were guilty of murder. Moses killed an Egyptian. He got angry because of the way the Egyptian was treating the children of Israel. And so he murdered that Egyptian. And then he fled out into the Midian desert. And he stayed out there for 40 years hiding from his sin. Well, King David had his comrade on the battlefield, Uriah the Hittite. He had him taken off the battlefield because David had committed adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And so David had his comrade taken off the battlefield. He tried to manipulate and conspire to have Uriah sleep with his wife, but Uriah, out of his passion and camaraderie with his colleagues out on the battlefield, Uriah chose not to sleep with his wife, and so David was not able to cover up his sin by having Uriah claim the pregnancy that David had caused. And so David then had his comrade Uriah killed out on the battlefield, and it made it look like it was an accident, but David was guilty of the sin of conspiring to kill his brother Uriah, and he was also guilty of adultery and had a son by another man's wife, and so he was guilty of adultery. Brother Saul was a zealous Jew who was persecuting Christians. This was after Jesus Christ had gone to the cross and delivered the new covenant to the people of Israel. And so Saul was zealously persecuting and allowing Christians to be taken from their house and encouraging Christians to be persecuted and even killed. Saul held the cloak of Stephen when Stephen was stoned and killed. And so these three men, Moses, David, and Saul, have written most of the Bible, and they were all three murderers, and yet they were all three redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So back to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you can be sanctified, you can be justified. Verse 25 in Romans chapter 7, I thank God, this is the Apostle Paul talking, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Well, praise God for that. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you can be called a son of God. Romans 5:15, the free gift of salvation is not like the offense of Adam. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Well, Adam fell, and through his fall, everyone then had the bondage of sin placed on them. They became slaves to sin, and that wasn't the end of the story. Thank God for that. God had a plan to redeem us out of our sin, to free us out of the bondage of sin. God had a plan, and that plan is still enacted today. It's still in vogue today, and you can participate in that plan. You can have your sin covered. You can be set free from whatever bondage of sin you are in. All you need to do is say, yes, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Get down on your knees, confess your sin, turn from your wicked ways, and repent, and God will see your heart. God will be faithful and true to his promise for you. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you and set you free from all of your sin. Well, I thank you for listening today. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your prayers. Sit down today. Contact us. We'd like to hear from you and make a donation to this ministry to see the work of God going forth through this radio broadcast and through the mission in Africa. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a good week.